good to see all of you again this morning, and you're always happy and when Harold calls and say, hey, could you come over, and never passed up opportunity. Good to see all of you, and very good to know that you're doing well. Let's commit ourselves to the Lord again. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. Your word tells us that you are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Father, we want to commit these brothers and sisters in Christ to you that are undergoing difficult times. Lord, you know every need, and you know that we are frail. Father, we also believe that you are a God who can work miracles, a God who is mighty in every way. So, Lord, we want to lift up these brothers and sisters to you who are going through tough times, that they will know your grace, and that your grace is, your power is made perfect in their weakness. Father, we commit ourselves to you this morning as we consider your word. We ask, Lord, that you would speak to us. If we are to have a profitable time in your word, it would be that you, your spirit will lift up the pages of scriptures to us so that we can be taught, we can be glorifying to you this morning, even in our consideration of your word. So we ask for your blessing. Pray for each one that the message will fall on good ground, that all of us might have tender hearts and open ears. Speak, Lord, for your servant here. So we pray and commit ourselves to you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. Again, I would like to speak this morning on the, I would say, one of the most difficult thing, if not the most difficult thing in our Christian faith. And you probably will be wondering, what would that be? Is he able to take up such a subject, a worm like him? Well, the most difficult thing, or one of the most difficult thing in the Christian faith, I believe, is this: is how to live it out. Living it out. Walking the talk. Putting the money where our mouth is, sometimes we say. You know, James, in his letter to the 12 tribes who were in the diaspora, all Christians that were dispersed everywhere, he said to them, he says, show me your faith, and I will show you my works. Show me that you say you believe in God and that you are a Christian. Just don't tell me that. Show me how your faith and your love for God has changed you, have the evidence of your faith being shown. So, and I think this is very important, a very important subject for all Christians, because it is nothing, I think, as a believer, nothing more repugnant, nothing more difficult. I don't want to use the word disgusting, more difficult than to see a Christian who proclaims to be Christian and who is very good in his Bible knowledge and everything, but living very differently. That is what turns all of us off, isn't it? That's what turns the world off. So we want to live out our faith in the way that is pleasing to God, in which we are authentic. Our faith is authentic. It's real, not just talk. That is why in Scripture it says, work out your faith in fear and trembling. I think Paul said that. Work out. Now, notice, it's not work for your faith in fear and trembling. We can never work and earn salvation. What we already have, what is inside, what God has done in our lives and in our hearts, is so that we can be shown outwardly to unbelievers. So it is good to take stock or take count or take inventory of what is happening in our Christian life and our Christian walk. It is good, as the psalmist says in verse 103, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So it's good to take stock, and we have a song sometimes you sing, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. If you sit down and ask and think about what God has done through your entire life, and then you realize the grace of God is so good in the big things and the small things. We only see problems. We only have complaints. But when we sit down and ponder how many times God has delivered us, there is cause to give thanks. So it's good to take count, take stock of our blessings. It's also good to take count and take stock of our Christian life, our Christian living. Let me throw you a challenge this morning, as I throw myself this challenge. How has being a Christian changed you? Are you different from the person that you used to be? Are you different in the way you treat people? Are you different in the way you look at money? Are you different in the way you take pride in yourself and your achievement? Or do you ascribe it to God? Are you different? How are you different? If you were not a Christian today, would I be able to tell that you're not that you are a changed person? Would your neighbor be able to tell if you are a changed person? How has your faith in God affected and changed you as a person? You know, we all love Bible study and we love conferences. I love conferences. I love Bible study. And I love to get together with the Christians. We love to read books. But all these, if it is were only for us to learn and know more and have more knowledge, I think it's not good enough. You see, Scripture and Scripture understanding is so that the Word of God is used by the Spirit of God to shape us, to shape our thinking, to change our attitude, to make us more pleasing and more conformed to the image of the one who died for us, God's Son, Jesus Christ. That is what Scripture is for. It's so that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Scripture is to shape us so that we become more like Christ. Not to give us more knowledge and so our knowledge becomes a pride. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So how has that? And that actually is a very important subject. It's an important subject to me as well. Robert Murray McShane, one of the past preachers, a very good preacher, who lived quite a few years ago, he said this: a Christian is someone who makes it easy for others to believe in God. A Christian is someone who makes it easy for others to believe in God. Now, if I look at myself, do I make it easy for others to believe in God? Do you make it easy for others to believe in God? Are you that person that is so winsome that the Scripture talks about, of love, of care, of good sound speech, of grace, of understanding, of forgiveness, of acceptance, so that others can see that, hey, he has God in his life, that's why he is like that. A Christian is someone who makes it easy for others to believe in God. And so this morning, we want to talk about Christian living. Because Christian living is something that you say you love God, you say you love the Bible, that one nobody knows. I cannot see. But I can see your life. I can see how you behave. I can see how you react. I can see how you conduct yourself. In fact, Paul says, look at us, our lives. He was talking about those co-workers together with him. Look at our lives. Our lives is like an open book, known and read of all men. You can see from our own lives that we have not been selfish. We have not been living the life of wanton living, of carelessness, of dependence on others. Our lives is an open book. Is your life? Your life too is an open book, whether you like it or not. It is. And others are going to read. You may say you love, you care, you grace, you this, you that, but I can see. And others too can see. So, how has my Christian walk been different as a believer? We know we all love God, and we all know that we like to live the life of a Christian. So I was asking myself as I was thinking of this, so what does it look like? Throw me some challenge. How is my Christian life look like? Give me a test. Okay, because now I say I don't know how to say if you're a good Christian or not a good Christian. So what is the test? Throw me the test, send me some questions. So we are going to set some questions. We are going to throw a test. And the test must be from the Bible, the Word of God. Okay, let's go straight. I have 5 minutes, 10 minutes left. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. So this is what Paul tells the Christians in Ephesus. He said, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have learned him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man who grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust." Verse 23, and this is the verse, these are the verses that we want to concentrate on. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may be something, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessity, for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, but whom you were sealed for, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind up to one another, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you or has forgiven you." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. So there you go. If I do not finish, which I often do not, you already have that there to measure against yourself. How does your Christian life compare to this very simple set of instructions? Number first of all, we are told in verse 23, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." See, we have an old nature, Paul tells us, and we are to put that away. It's like changing clothes, you know. I take out my clothes, I put it away. I take my new shirt, my new trousers, and I put it on. My new dress, and I put it on. So we have to put on the new man, the scripture says. And that is really God will, and we are to put that on. And how does that new dress or new attire look like to you? Well, the new dress and the new attire look like this. It is, you were created according to, the new man was created according to God. Man, Adam and Eve was created in the image of God. And so they had the attributes somewhat, and most of it is corrupted, of the true and holy God. What is good, what is loving, what is caring, we have some of that. still lingering by the grace of God. But now the new man is created according to God and in God's fashion. So if you want to know how to live a good Christian life, the way is to know God. Know His attributes. Know His quality. And so, we ask ourselves, see, God is not going to force us to be holy. God is not going to force us to be righteous, even though we are His children. Can I force my son to be good? Can I force you, because you are Christian, to be good, to do this? No. Likewise, God can if He wants to, but He will not. God, as is often said, is a gentleman. He will not force you, even though you are one of His child, you are saved, sealed with the Holy Spirit, He has said. He is not going to force you to be holy. He is not going to force you to be righteous. To be holy and to be righteous is a choice. And as you make that choice to say, Lord, I love you, therefore I do your commandments. Lord, I love you, therefore I will do what you say, is a choice. And as we surrender, as we say, Lord, I want to be righteous. And as we make that choice, you know what will happen? The Holy Spirit will enable you. God will enable you. God will give you the strength. God will give you the grace. It's not that you're going to face this alone. The lack of grace, the lack of faith is what keeps us back, pulls us back. One very good example is that it says, do not lie. Why do we lie? We lie because we forget that God is faithful. We lie because we forget that God is faithful and He will not allow us to be tempted or tried beyond that which we can bear. So we lie to get our way out of a situation. We forget that God is able. If we tell the truth, therefore, you know, and sometimes, you know, especially I think in the Asian culture, like me, when I grew up, there are a lot of white lies. I remember with my mother and all the children going out one day for visiting Chinese New Year. So we went to someone's house, and we were going from house to house to house, right? Chinese New Year, visiting. And so, kind of coming to the one of the last houses, it was getting late. It was like 6, 7 o'clock, you know. And then the host of the house said, asked my mother, so have you guys eaten? Eaten already. Actually, all the children were very hungry. We haven't eaten. We were hungry. And, you know, those seem to be like simple, quite nice, you know, to be courteous, to be not thinking that you want someone's food. But those are lies. It's not truthful. And if when white lies become big lies. And so as Christians, we should practice that which is right. And that we should be truthful. Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. And we trust the Lord God to help us. So, put away lying, even though it may be simple. White lies. White lies are just that, lies, untruth. And then the next one, Paul says, be angry, but do not sin. Now, this one is a very hard one for me. Because when I feel like I get angry quite a bit. Especially when I cannot find my car keys, I'm very angry. Or you put my thing somewhere else, I'm very angry. And how to be angry and sin not? I tell you, it's difficult. I say, just don't be angry. And so you won't sin. So the thing is this. Someone said that anger is an emotion. Being sinning is a choice. So you can be angry, but you can choose not to sin. And I think that is probably possible. But I would say it's quite hard for me. So I try not to be angry. I try not to be angry. In your house, as a believer, now that I have become a believer, am I still angry? Am I still shouting at my children? Am I still shouting at my wife? Am I still angry with my whatever? Has it made a change? Has my Christian faith that I say I love and I go into waters of baptism and prove, has it changed me? Has it become, am I becoming a more beautiful person? The next one, so let him who steals, steal no more. So I will steal. I will steal. You steal? No? No? No stealing? We don't steal, right? Most of us don't steal. You know, I earn a living making money sometimes for when people steal. That's why I put in security cameras in Shoppers Drug Mart, in TNT, in Canadian Tire, you know, to prevent people from stealing. But most of us don't steal. But I tell you where the greatest stealing is that goes on. And once a year, I believe, it happens. You know when? Text time. Text time. Well, you know what? I didn't buy the house. I bought the house for less. Whatever. Text time is the time when it really tests us. It tests me too. Can I, if God has blessed me with all that I have, can I not honor him and say, I will do what is right? I am a child of God. I'm created in the image and according to the new man is according to God in righteousness and holiness. Can I not trust God, therefore, to help me, to continue to bless me more and more? Because God says this in 1 Samuel, they that honor me, I will honor. As we learn to give and trust God with more and more of the things in our lives, as our lives are being changed, as we read the scripture, as it speaks to us, we allow it to tell us more. And the last thing, I'm going to finish. Do not be corrupt language or the corrupt word and proceed out of your mouth. You know, sometimes I meet some people, even at work, is that they cannot say a sentence without a foul language. We don't do that, right? We don't do that. But it is easy sometimes even as Christians. There's some of the things that we used to say. One of these things that I hear quite often from Christians are this. Oh my God. Oh my God. That's taking the name of the Lord in vain. That is not right. So we need to think. As Christians, we need to be critical. We need to think about our actions. We need to think about behavior. Does it stand the test of holiness? Does it stand the test of righteousness? Does it stand the test of love? It says, if it is not something that is good and loving, as it goes through my mind, I asked myself, is this something loving to say? Will love approve of this, what I'm going to say and tell the guy? And give him a punch. I'm not going to say it because it's not something that will stand the test of love. So, and finally, you know, we have the Spirit of God. God lives in us. We are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Spirit of God lives in us. He's, as we say, Lord, I want to, I choose to, He will enable us. He will give us the grace, and He will give us the strength to live up to our Christian calling. Best of all, you have your brothers and sisters in Christ. Be tender and loving to one another, as you are, I can see, in this church. Be tender and loving to one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. You know, and do not be bitter. Sometimes we can be bitter towards others. You know what bitterness is and not forgiving is? It is this. It's like taking poison and thinking and hoping the other guy will die. You get it? You're so angry with that guy, you're so mad with it, that it eats you up. It's like taking poison. And then you say, I hope he's going to be bad for him. No, it's going to be bad for you. And that is not glorifying to the Lord. So, just a little bit of a thought there as we take stock as believers, as Christians, how we ought to live. Walk worthy in the Lord. And may the Lord bless you and help you as I've been a believer now for many, many years. And many of you have become a believer in many, many years, and some are new. All of us need to ask ourselves, how have my faith changed me as a person? May the Lord bless these simple thoughts. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this morning and ask, Lord, that you will continue to bless us and bless what has been shared. And we pray for the Bible Hour as well and the Sunday School later. That, Lord, your Spirit will continue to linger with us and to be our guide and our teacher. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.